way that the sister is actually reasoning with them. But not true. You know, that is how Satan starts. Hallelujah. That is when this scripture begins to be meaningful now. He that cometh to God must believe that he is God and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. And God's diligence there means there will be up and down. There will be conditions that will see make you feel like turning back. But it means that is why Christians are overcomers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I quickly reminded my sister. I said, when has salvation process now? When have we started rating your standing with God? Your right standing with God with the prosperity you have on earth here? When has salvation been reduced to that level? I thought they would tell you that since you left our church, you started wearing trousers again. Since you left our church, we hear say you they fight for streets. Since you left our church, we hear say you they dress like prostitute. If they have spoken like that, then they will be correct. But for somebody to say, since you left our church, nothing is working again for you, and then you are getting worried. Church, what is the testimony of a Christian? It is blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a fountain of glory divine. Heir of salvation. Purchased of God. Born of his spirit and washed in his blood. What's your testimony? Oh, this is my story. That's your testimony.
This is my song.
Praise him, my Savior, all the day long. Yes. Hallelujah. My testimony is the salvation of my soul. There are people that hate to hear the word Jesus, but they are billionaires out there. Hallelujah. There are people that say there is no God at all, and they are billionaires. Everything this world can afford, they have it. So when have you started associating wealth with salvation? So you have to catch this. That's why we say, he that cometh to God must believe that God is God. Take time and study him, so that you don't live a life of frustration. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. What you know now that has rooted you and placed you on the pathway of redemption. Did you know it when you were in that church before? The confidence, spiritual confidence you have now, did you have it before? Have you not received more light? More light to what you had before in your former church? You see? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Revelation. When Apostle Paul says that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He mentioned in verse 17 of Romans chapter 1. He said, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. The righteousness of God is revealed from revelation to revelation. Deeper and deeper. Or do I say higher and higher? Because revelation should not take you down. It should take you higher up. Closer to heaven. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. From revelation to revelation. Revelation is so important. That's why Jesus had to ask his disciples, who the men say I, the Son of Man, are? Who do you say I am? Hallelujah. And when Peter said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God, he quickly added, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. He said, upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. And that sister, that your church members were yapping you, that things were better when you were in your former church than here, is another gate of hell. Let it not prevail against you. You've gotten something higher. Higher, much higher. Hallelujah. There's a church in Lagos here that is known for miracles. Let me not call name today. Hallelujah. And a young girl in my house was watching the television station, and mighty miracles, signs and wonders taking place there. And she couldn't help but say, Father, let this kind one, they happen for our church now. She said she was saying it in excitement, but miracle she saw. She said, suddenly a voice spoke to her. He said, what you have in Bride Assembly is higher than what they have. She was watching the television upstairs. She jumped up and came downstairs to meet me. Said, daddy, see what I had. I'm confused. I know they see miracle. I know they see anything like that. But he said, what we have is higher. And I told her, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, do you know the scripture referred us in Matthew chapter 7? He said, not all that say, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God. He said, in that day, many shall come and say, they did this in my name. In my name, they cast out devils. In my name, they performed this, they performed that. He said, and I will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that walk iniquity. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen, anointing will never take anybody to heaven. Amen. When you are in bondage, there are different types of bondages. There are poverty bondage. There is sickness bondage. There is frustration bondage. But there are little bondages, these ones. The highest bondage that any human being can be in is the bondage of the soul. That your soul is in bondage. And the deliverance of the soul is the reason why Jesus Christ went to the cross on Calvary. The deliverance of the soul does not come by you falling down under anointing. The deliverance of the soul comes by a knowledge. For ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. That is the only means of the deliverance of the soul. Hallelujah. When John in 3 John said, I wish above all things that you might prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. That means there is the prosperity of the soul. The soul prospering there. It's not talking about the amount of money you have here, because you can be a billionaire and yet be poor in your soul. That's why in the Beatitude it says, blessed are them that are poor. Hallelujah. For they shall be those that hunger and thirst, they shall be filled. Blessed are the poor. What will happen to them? See, the poor there is the poverty of the soul. And you have to recognize that there is a need for your soul. And the only thing that satisfies that need is revelation. Upon this rock, I build my church. The rock of revelation of who Jesus Christ is, and church, not too many people know it. There are people praying in the name of Jesus and demons are flying out, but yet they don't know who that Jesus is. Hallelujah. You pray in the name of Jesus. You are even taking the communion bread and wine that we shall take today. But as you take that bread and take that wine, you don't know what you are doing. Because if you know what you are doing, you will not take it in the morning. You will not come anyhow and take it. It's because you don't know what it means. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Upon this rock of who Jesus Christ is. Who is Jesus Christ to you? Amen. You have to know that he is the ransom. He is the ransom. Hallelujah. He is the ransom. You know what a ransom is? Eh? You know what a ransom is? When kidnappers, they kidnap you, they will tell you, if you want me to release him, bring a ransom, bring an amount. That amount you pay for your relation to be released from kidnappers is called a ransom. We were in captivity of the devil. Hallelujah. And for us to be free, God had to pay a ransom. And that ransom that he paid was the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave on the cross of Calvary. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He paid. That's why we sing, they ask me why I'm happy. Some of you just sing that song because you like the tone. You like the tone. You like the tone. When I sang, Jesus paid it. Oh, I like this song. Hey, I like this song. What do you like about the song? The rhythm or the lyrics? What part of that song? What makes you like that song? Such love. I like the way this musician, they play that theme. Hey, that's why they sing. Such wondrous love. Such love. What are you saying? You have not even taken time to meditate on what you are saying. You have to know that he is the ransom. Because this revelation reflects on how you relate with him, Jesus. It's a propitiation for our sin. That's how the Bible put it. You have to know that he is the Lamb of God. Actually, he fulfilled two lambs in the Bible. The sacrificial lamb. The first one is even the Passover, because they had to Passover before there was sacrifice. Praise the Lord. The Passover lamb. That's why 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7 refer to Jesus Christ, our Passover. A type of the Passover lamb in Exodus chapter 12. They were to leave Egypt, the top of the world, to their promised land. Hallelujah. A type of a believer leaving the world into Christ. The freedom of the soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A lamb was slain. You are to apply it on the lintels of your house. Because the angel of death is going to pass through the land. And as he will reach that compound, when I see the blood, I will pass over. How many people have pondered on that scripture? But we like the song, when I see the blood, when I see the blood. Do you know what you are saying? Did you see the blood? Because this blood that we see now is not with physical eye. It's a revelation. Hallelujah. When I see the blood, I will pass over. Destruction is coming. One of these days, as fire came on Sodom and Gomorrah, this earth, fire will come on this earth. Peter said so, and I believe it. No, not too many people believe it. Hey, that's what I'm talking today. Not too many people believe it. If you believe it, see what I'm talking about. Somebody, they sleep there. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. See, we are saying it now. For those of you who will not go with us, who we shall leave behind, you will remember this story that I'm telling you now. For those of you who will not go, ask your neighbor again, are you going? Hallelujah. Judgment is coming. All will be there. Each one receiving justly his due. And I will pass over you. When I see the blood, I will pass. Hallelujah. When you apply the blood at the doorsteps of your house in Egypt, of the lamb, the blood of the lamb that is slain, judgment will pass over that house. And today, speaking about the judgment that will certainly come upon this earth. That thing is certain because it is in the Bible. And how do I know? Christ told us as it was in the days of Noah. Noah preached his own for 120 years. They did not believe him. Because they could not believe that water will come and cover the earth. This time it is not water, it is fire. It is thus saith the Lord. At their own time, it was preached for only 120 years. Our own time, God extended his grace to 2,000 years. 2,000 years because fire is more deadly than water. It's more deadly. That's why he extended the time of his grace. 2,000 years. And people are making it look as if, since in those days, they come. Hope till I never come. Let's enjoy ourselves. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He made an offer. He gave his only begotten son, his lamb, John the Baptist. Behold, the Lamb of God. He pointed to Jesus Christ, which taketh away the sins of the world. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Behold, the Lamb of God. And he was at Passover. And this time around, it's not to apply it on a physical building. Where are you to apply it? Down at the cross, where my Savior died. Down where for cleansing from sin, I cried. There was a blood applied. Glory to his name. Glory to his name.
Glory to his name.
rich. I'm poor soul, I'm the Savior. I'm being made complete. Oh, glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Yeah, to my heart, was the blood. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to His name. In your heart, not in your mouth. Some people apply the blood in their mouth. Blood of Jesus, blood of Jesus, blood of Jesus. It's not in your mouth, in your heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Blood of Jesus, 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 blood of Jesus. Bah, 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 bah. Your girlfriend enter the room. Oh, honey. You see why it should not be in the mouth? It should not be in the mouth. It's in the heart. Hallelujah. And after you have passed over, now in Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ is there now. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. As the sacrificial lamb. In Israel, when you commit any sin, the sins of the whole year, once every year, you bring a lamb to the high priest, confessing your sins. For it is written, the soul that sinneth shall die. But God in His mercy knows if He leave us like this, all His children will die. Because we are too stubborn. So He made a provision. Instead of me to die, see this goat. And your sins are placed on that innocent animal. It becomes the sacrificial lamb. And with that blood of that animal shed, hallelujah, your sins are atoned. That is exactly what Jesus Christ came to fulfill. The difference between His blood and the blood of that animal, Hebrews chapter 10 says, for it is impossible for the blood of an animal, verse 4 says so, hallelujah, to affect the conscience of the believer. That is why He repeats it every year. Because as he's going to commit the same sins he committed last year, he's going to look for maybe a bigger ram and bring it this year, because the sin for this year passed that of last year. Why? Because the blood of that animal cannot affect the conscience. That is why we have grace. And so what does He do? God gave us the type of blood that can affect our conscience. There is a life in the blood of Jesus Christ that the believer lays your faith on the cross of Calvary, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You look up here, there is a power that is being released through that blood that comes in your conscience and strikes you and changes the heart of stone to a heart of flesh. That is achieved through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That spirit of God coming inside of you. That animal doesn't have a spirit. But Jesus has a spirit, and it is the Holy Spirit. When that spirit comes on a believer, hallelujah, then you understand what the destiny of a Christian is. For whom He did foreknow. Verse 29 of Romans chapter 8. He did predestinate to to be conformed to the image of his dear son, that he might become the firstborn among many brethren. Therefore, Jesus Christ could stand and say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the standard. God wanted to make a man after his own image, in his likeness. Let us make man in our image and in our likeness. He tried it with Adam. Adam failed. But the need for a last Adam to come, it's not just a second Adam, it's the last. The Bible said the last Adam, because after him there will be none again. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have to understand that. When the Bible says, the songwriter said, I am a new creation. I'm a brand new man. All things are passed away. I'm born again. Listen, church. You see, people who have revelation, listen to their song. I'm a new creation. Why are you a new creation? Because the first creation in Adam was destroyed. God came to start a new creation with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The position that Adam will have taken, he has taken it. Therefore, amen. We are born again. That's why you must be born again. This time, not by the spirit of Adam, but by the spirit of God. Through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And that spirit was released through the cross on Calvary. That's the meaning of communion service. It's to take a reflection of what happened on the cross. The life in the blood. That when he shouted, he gave up the ghost. When he shouted, it is finished. And he gave up the ghost. The ghost he released was the Holy Ghost. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So that you understand why Apostle Paul called Jesus Christ the image of the invisible God. And every Christian, we are the image of the invisible Christ. We came from Jesus. So if you see me, you see Jesus. When the Bible says, by their fruit you will know them, then you go to Cain and Abel. How do we know? Cain didn't come from Adam. By his fruit, his character. You are speaking in tongue. Hey. You are speaking in tongue. And you think that because you are speaking in tongue, you are speaking by the Holy Ghost. Certainly you are speaking by a spirit. Oh, the tongue you are speaking a tongue. There is a spirit that is speaking through you. But I want you to note, the Holy Ghost speaks in tongue. Demons also speak in tongue. So how do we know which of the tongue you are speaking? By the fruit. We shall know you. By your fruit. By your fruit. By your fruit we get to know where you are coming from. Who you are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That spirit released inside of you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You have to catch that revelation of Jesus Christ being the Lamb of God. Upon that rock I build my church. Knowing who Jesus Christ is and the gates of hell can never prevail. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Faith, this revelation cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. That's why every Christian, you must study. Told Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. One biggest mistake a lot of us do, the topic is convinced and concerned. For latecomers, you close from your church, then you came here. Convinced and concerned. Hallelujah. You are not yet convinced. That's why you are one leg in your denomination. One leg here. You are not convinced, that's why. One day you will be convinced. And your two legs will be here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When we talk about revelation, study, this thing has been misplaced in Christianity. John chapter 6. Read John chapter 6. They were looking for Jesus Christ. Jesus did mighty miracle, signs and wonders. Mighty miracle, signs and wonders. And the next day they came to continue eating bread again. Oh, hallelujah. You know, churches these days have a lot of gimmicks they do to attract people to come. Pentecostals. Amen. The real thing to attract the crowd to come, the Spirit of God is withdrawing little by little because He will soon be moving to Israel. So, the Spirit of God is leaving the church. Small, 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 small. And they are realizing that they have nothing more to attract people to come to the church. They have now descended to all manner of programs, including bringing comedians to stand in the pulpit and entertain the people. They advertise it. Come and hear this clown clowning with scriptures and clowning in the name of Jesus, when the Bible forbids jesting. You see? Nothing to keep the people anymore in the church. Churches are organizing picnic. Churches are organizing football tournaments. Church, oh, church! You see? So to make people come, there are some churches that serve lunch after service. Would you attend that type of church? When I'm sure of my wonderful lunch, I will go there. If you know any place, please let me know. I'm going to close early on, go there. Praise the Lord. And the truth is, amen. Amen. I saw another advert where they said they were coming to, somebody was going to take a seminar, a teaching or something, in either a co hotel or something like that. And the gate fee is for, if you're a student, that is a theological student, is 3,500. Okay, they just say student. I don't want to believe it's theological. They say students, 3,500. But if you are not a student, 5,000 naira gate fee. You see? To come and hear a lecture from Bible. You see what the churches have descended to? Anyway, like they were gathering in Fawemi Square at the gate. There are many people that went there because of that juju musician that was, you know. So throughout the afternoon, they are there dancing juju music. Dancing and dancing. What are you doing? Oil subsidy. But there had to be something to attract them to come. And so I learned that pure water was free. They were given mineral free. They were given food free. So that the people can stay long enough for the organizers to achieve what they want to achieve. But whatever it is, that is what these Jews thought Jesus Christ was doing. So they were looking for him. And they ran. They found him. He was somewhere. Ah, master, where are you there now? Since we just defy you since. There's no one like Jesus. There's no one like you. I never seen this kind of man before. Hey! And they expected Jesus' head to be blown up. When they were rushing to John the Baptist for baptism, what was he telling them? He said, he was even angry as they see them, they come. He said, look at this. He said, you generation of vipers. Who told you to run for the rot that is coming now? And he added, it's not just that you should come and be baptized. And tell me you have repented. He said, bring forth fruit, meat suitable to confirm you have repented. Let the light show. Every preacher, a true preacher, your head should not blow because somebody said you are a mighty man of God. I am a mighty man of God. Have you fulfilled the reason God has made me mighty? What do you think I as a pastor am watching out for? For crowd to fool this place? Or to see a people that are ready to go to heaven reflected in the life that you live? It's true now. When I get to heaven, they will tell me to bring my nominal roll call of my church members, Abby. Jesus will ask me, how many members were in your church? He will tell me, oh, you line up with the ones you brought to me. Because he said, come to me. He didn't say, come to the church. He didn't say, come to the church. He said, come to me. Did you bring them to the church or you brought them to Jesus, Mr. Preacher? And so they came and they thought they would blow Jesus' head. And Jesus said something. Let's read that verse. John chapter 6. And Jesus answered in verse 26 and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. And he added there, labor not for the meat which perisheth. You see what I've been saying since? But for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him has God the Father sealed, that is ordained for that purpose. So why was he saying, you are seeking me? It's not because you saw a miracle. That's why I am going. That the miracle you see is to call your attention to who Jesus Christ is. To begin to inquire, who is this man? That's the purpose of miracle. Don't misplace this. Don't come because you need a miracle. And once you get the miracle, you take off. You wait again. When next you need a miracle, you look for that same address again. You come again. No. That is why in the church there are idolaters. There are people that are idol worshippers. Idol. There is a way you can also make Jesus Christ an idol. And Jesus Christ is not supposed to be an idol. He's supposed to be a God. Because he says, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I tell you? You see? They should have found out one man. It has never been done before in Israel. That a man will open the eyes of blind people. It has never been seen before. He turned bread. Small 5 loaves of bread. 5,000 people ate and 12 baskets remained. Which kind man be this? But you see the difference with the woman at the well. Just one sign. Just one sign. Her mind immediately went to the scriptures. Because she was a student of the scriptures. One sign. Just one sign. The man speaking to you here, it was one sign that made me to be interested to know who is this Jesus. Because I was sick and they prayed for me and the sickness disappeared. And I wanted to find out, which power is this? Without taking medicine? And the sickness went away. I had already sent my wife to go and meet my doctor and bring drugs because I know this thing, when it comes, it will deal with me. But they just prayed for, they didn't even touch me. They just prayed for and said, let us pray for our brother. Inside prison yard. And he healed me there. And I had to go back because of the miracle. Come, what happened? And they opened the Bible and showed me who Jesus Christ was. That was the beginning of facts to know who is this Jesus. And if you seek, you will find. And that is how I found the truth. And that's the reason why my Christianity is different from so many people's Christianity, because that miracle was a lead, a pointer for me to search to know who is this man, Jesus. But how many of us sitting down here today have asked that question? All you do is just a repeater station. You are repeating what you heard. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Lamb. Today in our communion service, you stand up for your girlfriend, take your bag, put perfume, stand up. Where did they go? Will they go communion? Which communion? We are going to eat the blood and body of Jesus Christ. For what? He went and died and set me free. Free from what? You are coming from your girlfriend, boyfriend house. What did he set you free from? It's because you don't know who he is. That's why Apostle Paul said, before you take communion, he said, let a man examine himself. You don't come anyhow. He said, he that eateth that bread and drinketh that wine unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says so. He said, not understanding the Lord's body. You come anyhow, haba. You make a caricature of what happened on the cross of Calvary. Praise God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why in Romans chapter 14 and verse 23, he said, for whatsoever that is not of faith is sin. That's the way he put it. Whatever is not of faith is sin. What he's saying there is, anything you will do that is not by revelation, you will always do it wrongly. Because there's no revelation behind it. And it will never be accepted by God. Because you will never do it properly. Without faith, revelation, it is impossible to please him. So my emphasis today is that you have to be convinced first. When you are convinced of God's process for salvation, when you are convinced you deserve to go to hell, a wretched sinner, David said, I was born in iniquity. I was shaped in iniquity. He said, he came in sin that did my father, my mother conceive me. I came to this world speaking lies. He had already condemned himself. First, you are convinced that there is a fire. There is a God that is a consuming fire. Apostle Paul said, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God. He said, knowing the terror of God will persuade men. Revelation. And now, hallelujah. When you are convinced of the terror of God, you are convinced of your estate as a human being bound to go to hell, you will be convicted. A conviction there is a position of acceptance that you are wrong and that you are in a miserable estate. It is when you are now convinced and you are convicted that you will now be concerned for your soul. You have to be convinced, convicted, and then you will be concerned. That's the truth. That's why he said, talk about godly sorrow. That is a conviction. Hey, if I die now, where will I be? Hey, godly sorrow that worketh repentance, that produces repentance. And it's difficult to achieve that state of godly sorrow in the heart of a human being. That's why he's interested in that heart of stone to turn to a heart of flesh. How many times do you have altar calls these days in Christianity with people crying at the altar with tears coming out? Altar calls are made and see the people that are going. Did they go? Today, now the fourth time they come with this one. I don't come last week. I say, I don't come. Ah, Jerry, you come? Hey, we plenty today. Hey, that sister too, come. Hey, brother, you too, you come. I like this church, oh. I like this church. Altar call. And then the preacher will stand there. He's happy. People are, I have preached. People have come out. And if it is a branch church, he's going to record it and send it to the headquarters. Plenty of people came out today when I preached. Headquarters, promote me to senior. What Christianity has been reduced into. No more godly sorrow. Therefore, there cannot be true repentance. No more conviction. Therefore, one cannot be concerned for your soul. Because it is supposed to be the concern that will make you leave your seat and run to the altar and say, Lord, do something and remove this carnality from me. I don't want to die in this estate. Such a person will kneel down. Nobody will tell him to cry. There is something that has woke the heart from a conviction. Godly sorrow that worketh repentance. That produces repentance. And no preacher should rejoice at any altar call until you see people at the altar broken down. You don't have to cry with tears coming out, but we can know when you are truly broken down. And don't rejoice too long here, preacher. Wait first for some few months and see those same people that came out first. Because some people's repentance is momentary. It's momentary, momentary. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let me give you three examples in the Bible. Nathan. Can we read it? Nathan went to David in 2 Samuel chapter 12. I want somebody to understand the meaning of godly sorrow. Hallelujah. Now, 2 Samuel chapter 12. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm reading from verse. Okay, let me just. You see, from chapter 11, verse 26 and 27, then we cross over to chapter 12. Let me just read those last two verses in 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 26 and 27. We know the story about Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah, and David. David had done what he did and killed the husband of Bathsheba because he wanted to marry her. And in verse 26, and when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. And when the morning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house. And she became his wife and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Chapter 12, verse 1. And the Lord sent Nathan, a prophet, unto David. And he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing, save one little a lamb, which he had bought and nourished up. And it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he started to take of his own flock and of his own head to dress for the wayfaring man that was common to him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. Hey, he was narrating what happened to David the king. Oh yeah, Oga David passed judgment. Verse 5. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that has done this thing shall surely die. So there is a conviction here. Hallelujah. Verse 6. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus said the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wife unto thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah, and if thou have been too little, I will moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from thy house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus said the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thy own house, and I will take thy wives before thy eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst your own secretly, but I will do my own before all Israel and before the son. That is the judgment. But see the mercy of God. Godly sorrow. Now, it is not that God does not look at us because we are such wretched and wicked sinners. Each time God opens up your sin before you, he's expecting a reaction. That is what he's waiting for. No matter what abomination you have committed, once you can accept that, hey, I deserve to die. Accept it, because not everybody accepts that you are a sinner. Some justify their sin. When you catch them, instead of them to own up, they will still, you know, find a way. Like thieves in Lagos. If not only you, they pursue thief. Hole. When people come out, the thief will turn poison on you. Hole. And everybody will turn against you, and the thief will go. There are some people, when you catch them committing sin, I'm going to tell the pastor. Say, go tell him. When I finish with you, you go, no. He's sure of how smart he is. Hallelujah. And when they come and say, he said, pastor, you know, there was a revelation last week that some people went to set me up. They just jealous me because of my gift. Pastor, you remember I told you that Satan is after me in this ministry. Four people, they gave me prophecy that they're setting me up. Pastor, Nalayo. Now they hear me now. Listen now. They hear me. Okay, verse 13. After that judgment, and David said unto Nathan, hey, I have sinned against the Lord. That's it. I have sinned against the Lord. He accepted it. You see, this is one of the reasons God referred to David as a man after God's own heart. You know why? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you, there is no abomination you commit on earth that if you realize what you have done is wrong, not because you say it from your mouth, but that you accept it from your heart, and between you and God, you come to him and say, I agree, I deserve to die. I have done this thing. No abomination that you come with a broken and heart and a contrite spirit. The psalmist said, God will not despise.
No matter how many abortions you have done, the devil will use it and say you are finished. You are not finished if you can repent.
David accepted it. The first point of repentance. Repentance starts from acceptance. That is the conviction.
Condemn yourself first. David said, I have sinned against the Lord.
And Nathan said unto David, immediately, the Lord also has put away thy sins. Thou shalt not die. You see?
Instantly, godly sorrow that worketh repentance.
Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me give you another scripture. 1 Kings chapter 21. This is now Ahab.